Roll call.
Roll call for Friday, February 15th. Anderson District 2?
Here.
Anderson District 28?
Here.
Barnard?
Here.
Bebout? Burns? Case?
Present.
Christensen?
Here.
Coe?
Here.
Cooper?
Here.
Kraft?
Here.
Dockstader?
Here.
Driscoll?
Here.
Emmerich?
Here.
Esquibel? Geis,
here.
Hastert,
here.
Hicks,
here.
Hines,
here.
Johnson,
here.
Landon,
here.
Meyer,
here.
Nicholas,
here.
Nutting,
here.
Perkins,
here.
Peterson, Rothfuss,
here.
Schiffer,
here.
Scott,
here.
Von Flatern,
here.
President Ross,
here.
Bebout,
here.
Burns,
here.
Peterson's excused, 29 present, 1 excused.
Prayer by Pastor O'Malia.
With the President's permission, I would just like to say that it has been a really true gift and privilege to be here this week as your chaplain. I think that everyone in the state of Wyoming should spend a day or two here at the Senate and also in the House to understand exactly what goes on, how hard you work, and how much goes into passing the bills and the things that you do in this place. I have great admiration for you. I'm also so happy to see that things are not done on these, you know, split partisan lines by what party you are from, but rather that you really think and use your hearts and minds to try to do the very, very best things for the people of the state. I'm very impressed with that. I also wanted to mention that I thought it was very interesting, the two statues that you have out in front of the building. Esther Hobart Morris, who was the strong proponent of women's rights in this state and just gave women the right to vote. And also the statue of Chief Wakashi. I copied down what is written on that yesterday. It has always been my fervent hope and policy that through these long years, to maintain peace and harmony. I did a little research and I found out that he was in fact very friendly to the first pioneers and settlers, that he was very helpful when they were crossing and fording the rivers, helped them round up the strayed cattle. But at the very end, he was a little bit bitter. He said, in fact, the government lies. And I thought, how sad. And I imagine that there's still some truth to that, but I have been most impressed with what I have seen this week. Shall we pray? Great creator and leader of us all, I give you thanks for the work that is done, for the well-being of the people, of the businesses, of the communities of this state. It is my prayer as well that the footsteps that have been laid down before us may be those same footsteps that we follow that will bring us years of peace and harmony, peace and prosperity. Send your presence into this group today. Give them your wisdom to make the best possible decisions for this state. Amen.
Amen. Please join me in the Pledge of Allegiance.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Reading, correction, and approval of the journal with reading clerk read the Journal Committee report.
Mr. President, your Journal Committee reports the Journal of February the 14th, 2013, has been read and recommends that it be approved. Senator Jim L. Anderson, Chairman.
You've heard the reading of the report. Are there any objections? Hearing none, the report has been adopted. Senator Hastert.
Mr. President, may I have privilege of the floor?
Yes, you may.
Members of the Senate, over here sitting by our, what we call in Sweetwater County, our diva senator, is our deputy prosecuting attorney came over to visit today, and I'd like you to make John Prokos welcome to the Senate. Stand up.
Welcome to the Senate. Senator Driscoll.
Chair, privileged floor.
Yes, sir.
Senators, I'd like you to welcome Grace Denning and Abigail Begeman, who are Cheyenne East students that are off for the day, come to watch the Senate, prepare for pages and interns down the road. Welcome.
Welcome. There is no doctor of the day. The nurse for the day is Ann Davin. Today in Wyoming history, in 1900, Park County was created. Thought for the day comes from Al Simpson. If you're in the game long enough, you're going to be the toast of the town one day, and the next day you'll be the toast. Abigail Conrad, would you meet me right here?
We're taking you to the woodshed.
Abigail, we have a resolution here on behalf of the Senate to give to you in thanks for your hard work for the past 2 weeks. And the resolution says, as a resolution to recognize Abigail Conrad's service as a page in the Wyoming State Senate, be it resolved by the Senate of the 62nd Legislature of the State of Wyoming, whereas Abigail has served as a page for the Senate from February 4th through February 15th, and whereas Abigail's service as a page has been exceptional and fully appreciated by the Wyoming Senators. Whereas the resolution... This resolution has the support of the members of the Senate of the State of Wyoming and who have signed their name here, too, and you'll see that all 30 senators have signed this. Now, therefore, be it resolved by the undersigned members of the Senate of the Legislature of the State of Wyoming. Section 1, that Abigail has served the Senate of the State of Wyoming with dignity and respect. Section 2, that Abigail's dedication will serve her well in her future endeavors. And therefore, with great appreciation, we recognize Abigail Conrad for her outstanding dedication and support to the State of Wyoming on this 15th day of February, 2003, signed by us. And then there's a little card for you.
Thank you.
So congratulations.
I would like to thank my parents and all of you because coming into this, I really didn't know a lot about government at all. And that's, I kind of threw myself into it knowing that I'd have to learn quick, and I really did. And all of you were so supportive and so kind, so thank you so much. It was a blast.
Thank you. Joint Conference Committee Report, Senator Bebout. Are you ready with Joint Conference Committee Report number 1, reference?
Yes, I am, Mr. President.
House Bill, Senate File, House Bill 1. The reading clerk will read the Joint Conference Committee Report.
Joint Conference Committee number 1 Report, House Bill 1, General Government Appropriation. Reference Senate Message 8, signed by Representatives Harshman, Representative Ken Escobel, Representative Bob Nicholas, Representative Stubson and Wallace, and Senators Bebout, Dockstader, Hastert, Meyer, and Perkins.
Mr. Vice President.
Thank you, Mr. President. Mr. President, I move the Joint Conference Committee report, General Government Appropriations, to House Bill 1, and ask the Senate to vote aye. Mr. President, before I get into the specifics, I'd like to just give a quick overview to the members of the Senate. You'll have attached to your cheat sheet, and Mr. President, we're going to work off the cheat sheet, but you also have the Joint Conference Committee report as well. And so you need to have both of those available, and I will be referring back and forth, or if you have specific questions about a specific amendment, I'll be able to refer to that and discuss it with you. But also on that, you have the no longer a golden rod because it's not official yet, the white rod. And the white rod, if you grab the white rod, I would like to explain it a little bit to you, members of the Senate. On page one is the critical thing that you need to look at is you'll see the House Craig status of their proposed spending, and you'll see the Senate proposed spending next to it, and you'll see the Joint Conference Committee report as proposed. And the reason we have the white rod instead of the golden rod, because it's not official until we both bodies adopt the Conference Committee report. The difference, and I mentioned this before, is that the House spent $1.8 million more than we did initially. And, Mr. President, it's sort of funny how it worked out that the way we are now, we almost split it identical with the Senate being $100,000 more to the what I would call the black rather than the red. And unless there are any questions on the white rod, Mr. President, seeing none, I'd like to get into the Joint Conference Committee report. And, Mr. President, once again, we're going to use the cheat sheet, and I'll try to refer to different amendments as to who the sponsors are, and that's listed on your cheat sheet. And Mr. President, we'll just sort of go through it all, and then if there's questions, we can come back. I guess, is that the way you want to proceed?
However you see fit. If there are questions along the way, that's fine, too, as far as
okay, that'll be fine, Mr. President. Okay, if you look at the cheat sheet, you'll see the first amendment that we adopted was a Von Flatern amendment. Second Amendment, reading number four, this is the $245,000 to the Veterans Client Services position. It was identical to the House. The second one is second reading amendment number 19, and the Senate adopted the Bebout Amendment. This was a cleanup. It replaced through with until in the footnote 7 of the Department of Health about accreditation with providers' usage. The next amendment we adopted, Mr. President, was 2026 in the Senate. That was a Bebout Amendment that had $10,000 out of the tobacco fund for contract services at camps for survivors of childhood cancers. Mr. President, the next one we adopted was the Cooper Amendment, second reading amendment number 9, which was a $20,500 additional money for the to allow for the accreditation on the supervised treatment centers, and this money was no general fund increase. It came from existing funds. Mr. Chairman, the next amendment that we adopted was the Bebout one, second reading amendment number 20, and we talked about this before, but this changed the language on inmates and it deletes a one-time reference. And, of course, Mr. President, this is where we have a 70 beds vacant at the Honor Farm. We have a surplus of 70 in Torrington. We're going to move the 70 from Torrington to Casper, and the 70 there are going to go up to the Honor Farm, and there was a one-time appropriation of $420,000 to pay for that, but we wanted them to come back in a supplemental budget to ask for the additional money that they think they might need. The next one, Mr. President, is the House. We adopted the House Amendment number 32, the Zwanacher Amendment, and this adds a $726,500 that was taken out of the capital restoration account to do the level 1 and 2 series services for renovation of the state capitol. Second reading amendment number 36, the Harshman Amendment, was major maintenance on the building for the community colleges. Second reading amendment number 13 with a Connolly amendment that requires a report to the Joint Education Committee on the activities of the Early Childhood Advisory Council. Second reading amendment number 35 with a Harshman amendment, and that asks the Department of Ed to consolidate school district reporting requirements. Mr. President, that includes all the identical amendments. And Mr. President, what we do with a lot of these amendments, we will delete and further amend, and you'll see that as we get into them, and it was a cleaner way to take care of that. On the related amendments, so we adopted the second reading amendment number 41 in the House, the Harshman amendment. This was a technical correction. Actually, the House did a better job on the way they had written this one, so we caved into the House on that one. Going to the second page, Mr. President, this deals with the office of, in the governor's, a position in the governor's office, not a position, but a program in the governor's office to look at the international marketing of all the products for the state of Wyoming. And as you recall, that they had $500,000 that the House had approved for this, and it was originally set up to go to the business council. Subsequent amendments came through, and we ultimately adopted the Berger Amendment, which was House Third Reading Amendment number 31. And, Mr. President, what we did there is in the Senate, we had taken $75,000 from the governor's existing budgets and had utilized that to have a Senate amendment to begin to look at that. And we deleted that, so that $75,000 stays in the governor's budget. And I think that was for the Deepwater port and for some LNG issues they was looking at. We cut the money from $500,000 to $250,000, and we did a combination of the language between what the House had said and what the Senate had said. And if you look at the third page of your Joint Conference Committee report, that's the report itself, you'll see the language that we we utilized, and it was a language essentially that came from the Senate. The only difference is, really, Mr. President, is at the bottom of that language, we said that no funds associated with this footnote shall be used for travel to a foreign country without prior approval of the governor. And we made it that they shall be spent, and you'll see all the list of the things that we had in the Senate. And that money, Mr. President, came from the community facilities program.
Thank you.
Mr. President, the next issue is in the Secretary, or the next amendment was in the Secretary of State, the administration position. We had the Scott Amendment. We adopted that, which is second reading amendment number one. And we further amended that. And what we did, Mr. Chairman, we further amended that. And as you recall, Senator Scott's amendment took two positions away from the public health nurses within the Department of Health. The House was pretty adamant about why do we need to take more positions away, and there was a lot of discussion about whether those positions were even available. So the compromise was that we would ask the Department of Health we would take away a vacant position or positions which shall have associated fund salary benefits to at least $121,000. So the net effect of it is, Mr. President, is we put the $121,000 back into the Secretary of State's office for the attorney, and the money came out of the Department of Health. And there's a footnote in there that also says we want you to look at the public health section first, but it's not required specifically to come out of that. The other thing we did, Mr. Chairman, if you look at third reading amendment number 14, the Harshman Amendment, we said that it adds a footnote ensuring that the next vacancy in the Secretary of State's office will result in an FTE being reduced, because the feeling of the House was, well, they came in with one reduction, and we gave that back. One comes up that's vacant, they ought to reduce that. Mr. President, the next thing we go to is the Department of Education and the Superintendent of Public Instruction budgets. You may recall that we adopted the Nicholas Amendment, third reading amendment number 2. Mr. President, the difference between the House and the Senate was pretty simple, really. There were three things that were different. The House had 7 positions. The Senate had 9. The House had about $1.23 million spend. The Senate had $1.5 million. And in the language we had with the Nicholas Amendment, there was two provisions in there and I'll get to those that were different. The compromise, Mr. President, was that we went from 7 to 9, we came up with 8, and we had the associated money that went with that, plus I think the Senate had $50,000, excuse me, the House had $50,000 for travel, and the Senate had $85,000, we put that at $60,000. So the net effect in total dollars, Mr. President, was about $1.35 million. If you look at the, once again, the Joint Conference Committee report, you'll see on the, we can't number these, but you'll see after the Superintendent of Public Instruction portion of the Conference Committee report, you'll see a page of all these different things on the footnote that the Senator, the Nicholas Amendment had. What we put in that the House didn't have was footnote number 6. And that said essentially that if the superintendent desires to implement and fund the teacher-to-teacher or the special ed or other equivalent programs or initiatives not expressly authorized by law, the superintendent shall present the program to the Joint Education Committee for consideration. The other thing we put in there was pretty strong and positive. This was on the House side, number 4. No funds appropriated within Section 05 shall be expended for programs, initiatives, or other activities not expressly authorized by law. Mr. Chairman, moving on to land quality, we had the Meyer Amendment in the Senate. We adopted that second reading amendment number 5, and we deleted the House side, and essentially we restored two positions in land quality that we thought was needed, and we eliminated one vacant one in the EML. Mr. President, going to page 3, this was a forensic audit, and we had the 11-now amendment, the Coe amendment. We both deleted those, and we came up with a third reading amendment number 27, which was $150,000 general fund, and this is the forensic audit of the Department of Education. Mr. President, the next one deals with the Pine Park Beetle, and we adopted the Semlik amendment, third reading amendment number 25, and the Driscoll amendment, third reading number 15. Essentially, what we did here, Mr. President, is the House wanted to spend $2 million with the general fund, $1 million in the Wildlife Trust Fund, $1 million in the Department of Ag, and the Senate had that same amendment in the Senate and did not do real well. So, Mr. Chairman, what we did is we split it. We gave $500,000 to the Wildlife Trust Fund for Pine Bark Beetle and $500,000 to the Department of Ag. And we also took the Driscoll Amendment and agreed to reduce the $2.5 to $2 million that the governor had. We took the $2 million down to $1 million, so the governor has the authority in the fire suppression account if he so sees fit before those funds are spent if he wanted to spend the other $1 million on the pine bark beetle. So the bottom line is there's $1 million with the general fund for the pine bark beetle and the potential of another $1 million out of the fire suppression account if the governor wanted to do that. Mr. President, the next thing we adopted was a Brown Amendment, second reading amendment number 2. And this is we had the Coe Amendment in the Senate. And this adds an agency footnote requiring report of roads where the speed limit is set at a rate below state law as a result of an environmental study. The Coe Amendment had that you shall halt construction. This deleted that part of the Coe Amendment. Otherwise, they were identical. Mr. President, the next one deals with the Wyoming Tourism Board and the cowboy marketing programs. And you may recall we had the Schiffer Amendment. We adopted all three of these amendments and further we deleted and further amended. And the bottom line of this, Mr. President, is on the Schiffer Amendment, third reading amendment number 8, he had $118,000 in there, of which all of it came from the public defender under the capital case appropriation. And the House had said that you shall do all that marketing, but expected the Department of Tourism to absorb it all within their budget. What we did, Mr. President, we split it. So half of it comes from the capital case fund, and that's, you'll see, the $59,000 and half is within the Wyoming Tourism Board's budget itself. And then we also made very clear that the importance we have of, so we added the footnote directing no reductions be made to the cowboy marketing program. Mr. President, the next amendment we did is we adopted the Harshman third reading amendment number 17. Remember, the Senate, this is an important one, and it deals with a pooled fund interest, and it's a budget balancer. In the Senate, we took the budget balancer, and we said that if any funds that are available at the end of June 30th that come in, and we moved it to November 1st, would all be swept to the LSRA. We're not sure what those funds might be. We anticipate them being some, But remember, the pooled interest account is utilized to balance, you know, some, if we have a shortfall in our general fund, whether it's severance taxes or sales tax, but once that is balanced, then the money would tip into the LSRA. The House wanted to put $40 million more on the table to be spent. And we disagreed with them. And actually, Mr. President, this was a big argument and discussion that we had. You can see there that the House listened to the wisdom of the Senate, and we dropped that from $40 million to $5 million. Mr. President, you go on to the next page. This deals with the budget reductions for the 2015-2016 biennial budget. You can see we deleted a lot of different amendments, the Nicholas Amendment, the Schiffer Amendments, and we adopted the Harshman Amendments, the third reading amendment number 21, and further amended. The net result of this, Mr. President, if you look in the green there, we require the agencies to submit 4, 6, and 8% budget reductions for the 2015-16 budget session in the event that CREG does not adjust forecasts down before October 1st of 2013. But if they are below that, then we're going to request that. Otherwise, it'll be the 2, 4, and 6% reduction, the same as the health. The other thing, the point of issue or contention was that the House felt very, very strongly about wanting 2% and 4% reduction to the Supreme Court. We finally agreed on a compromise, and the courts are required to submit a flat 0% or a 2% budget request, but no 4% reduction. Mr. President, the next thing we did was we adopted the Nicholas Amendment on employee compensation. And this is, I'm going to try to explain this as best I can very carefully, Mr. President. In the Senate, we had the 1% that goes to all state employees, including the school districts. So all of them would receive the 1% one-time employee compensation. The House took the position that all state employees should get it, but in the school districts, anyone that received step compensations would not. So if you were a teacher, for instance, and you got your $800 a year step that you would normally get, which they all get for the first 20 years, but that's in the formula. The school district may not get them, but it's in the formula. So if you took that, you would get no raise. The Senate said that they should get the raises. The House said you should get no raises for the steps. The compromise was we said, okay, we're going to keep the way it is for all state employees. They'll get their 1%. But for K through 12, if your step increase would consume all that you would get for your 1% raise, you still get a 40% bonus. So if your bonus, if your 1% was $800, and your step increased with $1,000, you would still get 40% of the $1,000, or you would get $400. So the Senate was pretty strong on giving the teachers a bonus, and that's why we negotiated the 40%. If you should get an amount in between, if your bonus would be, your 1% would be $1,000, but your steps were $800, then you prorate the difference. And that was a compromise we came up with. Mr. President, the next one is the Patient Protection and Affordable Care Act rules. This is a Senator Scott's issue and amendments. And what we did is we deleted Senator Scott's two amendments. We adopted the Harvey Amendment and further amended, and that's second reading amendment number 43 to the House. Essentially, it was almost identical. We added $183,000 special revenues to the Insurance Department in two positions. And we told the Department of Health to do it as well, and we allowed the reclassification of one vacant position to do that. Mr. Chairman, the next thing we have is the Capital Rehabilitation and Restoration Task Force, the Harshman Amendment, third reading amendment number 28. This is significantly different than the way this task force is set up now, Mr. President, and you serve on that. If you read the language there on the bottom in the green, we appropriated $15,000 for this. And we changed the task force so that the legislature shall have six members on it, and the statewide elect officials shall have five, and there'll be four non-voting members from the public. Two from the public, one staff member from the Department of Parks, State Parks and Cultural Resources, and one department from the Department of A&I. So the legislature will have six of the votes, the state elected officials will have five. Moving to page five, Mr. President. This dealt with the $500,000 they started out in the House with general fund money to do another study of YDOT. Then it went to $300,000. We took all that out. And Mr. President, on that issue, you know, we have another bill moving forward about having a review of YDOT. I think that's very appropriate. I think we got to take a hard look at them and how they spend their money. And, of course, we just passed a fuel tax. And that's one of the things that your Appropriations Committee is going to look at during the interim if things work out that way. Mr. Chairman, the next thing is the Employees Group Insurance. This is a Zwanitzer Amendment we adopted, third reading amendment number 35, and it adds $10,000 footnote requiring a study on providing a new tier of insurance rates for smokers. We further amended that to change the wording from state employees to public employees. Excuse me. Mr. Chairman, the next one is the Harshman Amendment, third reading amendment number 24 to landfills. And what the House had done is there's $15 million set aside for the landfill account. The House had said that the governor shall be able to spend all of that if he thought, or if the bills came up and he needed it for fire suppression. The Senate said no to all of that. The compromise, we came up with $5 million. So the $15 million in the landfills, the governor has access to $5 million of that instead of $15. Mr. President, the next one is the Landon Amendment we adopted, third reading amendment number 25. Air enhancements, it comes from community facilities, Mr. President. Sure you know that. We split it. We went to from 240 to 120. Mr. President, the next one is the Nicholas Amendments, third reading amendment number 11 that dealt with the Wyolink funding. And essentially we changed it around to take it out of the T1 account and over the 900 series. And there was no net increase in the general fund expenditure. It was just the way that YDOT wanted to do it because of some funding issues. No net increase to the general fund. Mr. President, next one is the Schiffer Amendment, third reading amendment number 27 to behavioral health. And this adds a non-reversion language for quality of life care funds to footnote 7. And we further amended that, and the language is in your bill that it says, essentially says that it shall not revert for the fiscal year that we're in right now. Mr. President, the next one we adopted was third reading amendment number 12, the Cooper Amendment on aging. The Senate had given $490,000. The House had given none. We deleted and further amended by reducing the amount to $200,000 general fund. Mr. President, the next one is sort of interesting. It's a Peterson Senate reading, third reading amendment number 14, and the House members really, really wanted this $30,000 of federal funds. And so I think the Senate owes Senator Peterson a round of applause for convincing us to do that, which is probably the right idea because the House gave up a whole lot to get that back. So on one hand, Senator Peterson, I apologize. On the other, thank you very much. The next one we did, Mr. President, is we adopted the third reading amendment number 16, the Nicholas Amendment. This is a footnote requiring specific reports on many issues from the Board of Trustees at our university, including artwork, dean selections, SER staffing, raising buildings, architectural features, custodian of matching funds, and allocation assignment of endowed faculty positions. That was a point of contention as well, Mr. President, but we got the House to understand what we were trying to do there, and they bought off on it. Mr. Chairman, the next one is we adopted the Schiffer Amendment, third reading amendment number 28. This just requires on the satellite courts that they report to the Joint Judiciary Committee. Mr. Chairman, we're on the last page. This first one is the half-acre rec center. We adopted the Zwanitzer Amendment, second reading amendment 9, that deletes a footnote requiring artwork at the UW half-acre gym. The next one we did, Mr. President, is the budget balancer transfer, and we adopted the Throne Amendment, further amended. This is third reading amendment number 16. This is the SIPA account. We had a lot of discussion in the Senate that had been set at $80.8 million. The House wanted to take all of it and move it to $100 million. We compromised at $90 million, Mr. President, and we took the original one-time expenditures language. Mr. President, the next one was the budget transfers and the Teeters Amendment. We adopted the Teeters Amendment, second reading amendment number 21, and further amended. This, as you recall, is a PLF holding account where we in the Senate wanted $450 million there for the school foundation program. If there was any money over and above that, it would tip into the permanent land fund. The House took that to $810 million, and we were able to negotiate with them and put it at $475 million. And so whatever is left in there would, in fact, tip into the permanent land fund. And I'm believing that might be around $25 to $30 million, Mr. President. The next one, we adopted the Meyer Amendment, third reading amendment number 21, which was a position freeze. The next one we did was deleted the Meyer Amendment, third reading number 25, and this is where we asked of the $20 million that's in this budget to go to cities, towns, and counties, that we would, in fact, add language that they could utilize some of that for retirement. Then we deleted that. The next one we did, Mr. Chairman, is the Burkhardt 2, it's the second reading of number 39, which further clarification of the employee compensation that I went over with you before about the teachers and how we treated K through 12. And the last two we deleted, Mr. President, were the Burkhardt amendments on the Jamestown Rio Vista loan. It was general fund to start with. They put it in water development, saw the mistakes they made, and took it out of water development. Mr. President, that is your Joint Conference Committee report. I'd be glad to answer any questions.
Questions on the report, Senator Anderson.
Mr. President, if I may, while the good Vice President catches his breath, may I have a moment of privilege at the floor, please?
Yes, you may.
Thank you, Mr. President. Mr. President, in the balcony above, we have a very distinguished group of visitors today. They are from the Cowboy Challenge Academy. They'd all stand, please. This is at Camp Guernsey, and we've all had a lot of discussion in regard to the success of this program. They are, along with Director Ed Meyer and Instructor Barb Smith, coming for their annual visit. Would you please join me in welcoming them to the panel?
Welcome to the Senate. Questions, discussion on the conference committee. Senator Von Flader.
Thank you, Mr. President. Now that the chairman of appropriations has caught his breath, just a couple quick questions. One is on the first page. Why on the one, two, three, four, fifth one down, the BBOT 20, number 20 amendment, why isn't the amount, we know it's like $420,000, why isn't it listed there? I see there's amounts listed for about three of them that had money in them. Why isn't $420,000 listed there? That's one question. And then on page two, the top one, the foreign trade efforts, I followed how you put the money back into the deep water ports and all that. But where did that money come from? Which program? You stated it, but it was so fast I missed which program this money came from.
There be that.
Mr. President, on the first question, which I believe you're talking about, second reading amendment number 20, the BBOT amendment we adopted, that is in the budget bill itself, the 420.
Oh, okay.
That's where it shows up. As far as the money for the foreign trade, that I hate to keep saying this, Mr. President, but that comes from the capital facilities program. That's the $250,000 came from that.
Thank you.
Further questions? Discussion on the conference committee report.
Mr. President, before we vote, and I want to really thank the members of the Senate Appropriations Committee. They really worked diligently and hard on this, and there were a lot of long days, and we sure couldn't have done it without them. But more importantly, none of us could have done it without staff, and they're standing right out here, and they can't come on here. But I tell you, I'd really like to thank our LSO staff, both the House side and the Senate side, for an incredible job. They worked so hard, and I think they brought you a pretty good conference committee report. So let's thank them.
Thank you to the staff, and thank you, Chairman Bebout, for all your hard work, and committee members. The motion is that the Senate do adopt the Joint Conference Committee Report Number 1 in reference to House Bill 1, and you've been asked to vote aye. The Chief Clerk will call the roll.
Anderson, District 2.
Aye.
Anderson, District 28.
Aye.
Barnard.
Aye.
Bebout.
Aye.
Burns.
Aye.
Case.
Aye.
Christensen.
Aye.
Coe.
Aye.
Cooper.
Aye.
Kraft.
Aye.
Dockstader.
Aye.
Driscoll.
Aye.
Amrick.
Aye.
Esquibel.
Aye.
Geis.
Aye.
Hastert.
Aye.
Hicks.
Aye.
Hines.
Aye.
Johnson.
Aye.
Landon.
Aye.
Meyer.
Aye.
Nicholas.
Aye.
Nutting.
Aye.
Perkins.
Aye.
Peterson.
Aye.
Rothfuss.
Aye.
Schiffer.
Aye.
Scott.
Aye.
Von Flatern.
Aye.
President Ross.
Aye.
Closing vote. Closing vote closed. 29 ayes, 1 no.
By your vote, you have adopted Joint Conference Committee Report Number 1 in reference to House Bill 1. Mr. Majority Floor Leader.
Thank you, Mr. President. Mr. President, I'd like everybody to give a special thanks to Chairman Bebout, Senator Meyer, Senator Perkins, Senator Dockstetter, and Senator Astor. They did a wonderful job. If you guys will stand up, and let's give them an applause. Yeah. Great job. Good job. Yeah. Exceeded our expectations.
We had concurrences.
You know, Peterson was so lonesome, he had to stop by the room the other day.
Yeah, just like that. Until you got in
there. Senator Hines, are you ready on message number 340 in reference to concurrence request to Senate File 28?
Mr. President, yes, I am.
Reading clerk will read in the message.
February the 14th, 2013, from the House of Representatives, message number 340, concurrence requested. Mr. President. Senate File 28, Resident Preference Provisions. The Senate file listed above passed on third reading in an amended form as follows by the vote indicated. Ayes 57, excused 3. The House respectfully asks Senate to concur by adopting the listed amendments. Patricia Benskin, House Chief Clerk.
Senator Hines.
Mr. President, I move to concur on message 340, and I'll ask you to vote no on this resident preference bill. The House put in 4 pages of amendments. And on first blush, I guess you'd say, going through it, they don't look too bad. But I also talked to the House members, and or a couple of them, and they felt like I did, that something this long and change, we need to go over and make sure the whole thing fits together and not try to adopt something that we don't completely understand on each other amendment. So with this, I'd ask you to vote no on this conference on this concurrent report.
Discussion? The motion is that the Senate do concur on message 340 in reference to Senate File 28, and you've been asked to vote no. Chief Clerk will call the roll.
Anderson District 2?
No.
Anderson District 28?
No.
Barnard?
No.
Bebout?
No.
Burns?
No.
Case?
No.
Christensen?
No.
Cole?
No.
Cooper?
No.
Kraft?
No.
Dockstetter?
No.
Driscoll?
No.
Amrick?
No.
Esquibel?
No.
Geis?
No.
Hastert?
No.
Hicks?
No.
Hines? Hines?
No.
Johnson?
No.
Landon?
No.
Meyer?
No.
Nicholas?
No.
Nutting?
No.
Perkins?
No.
Peterson?
No.
Rothfuss?
No.
Schiffer?
No.
Scott?
No.
Von Flatern?
No.
President Ross?
No.
Closing vote? Closing vote closed. 30 no's.
By your vote, you have failed to concur on Senate File 28. Senator Von Flatern, are you ready on message number 341 in reference to Senate File 45?
Yes, Mr. President.
Reading clerk will read in the message.
February the 14th, 2013, from the House of Representatives, message number 341, concurrence requested. Mr. President, Senate File 45, restricted driver's license modifications. The Senate file listed above passed on third reading in amended form as follows by the vote indicated. Ayes 43, noes 14, excused 3. House respectfully asks the Senate to concur by adopting the listed amendment. Patricia Benskin, House Chief Clerk.
Senator Ron Flater.
Thank you, Mr. President. I move that the Senate does concur with message number 341 and that we vote aye. What 340, Senate File 45 was restricted driver's license modifications. And what the House did, well, let me tell you, the original bill, all it changed was the hours at which somebody on a restricted license could drive, which was to change from 8 p.m. to 11 p.m., and added the language that the licensee shall not transport any passengers if operating a motorcycle. That's the original bill. When it left the Senate, we had added language. We left the 11 o'clock alone. That remained the same. We had added language that said the licensee may transport no more than 3 passengers under the age of 18 who are not members of the licensee's immediate family and may do so only at the direction of his parent or guardian. And then we left in licensee when operating motorcycle will not have passengers. What the House did was they amended it once, then they deleted that, then they amended it out to say that from 3 passengers, they went down to 1 passenger who is not a member of the immediate family. So they changed it from 3 to 1, left the guardian approval in there, or parent approval, and the motorcycle will not have passengers. So they went from 3 to 1 passenger that's not immediate family. I've asked the Senate to vote aye on this message. And with that, I call for the question, Mr.
Thank you, Mr. President. Mr. President, we debated this same issue with a great deal of time and gut-wrenching, and there was a reason for the 3. That was our position. I'd urge you to vote no.
No. Remember, folks, now this is the work permit. Let me give you the example from at least my part of the world. Oftentimes, particularly during shearing, the shearing season or during the branding season, these young kids can carpool out to wherever the shearing crew is working or wherever the branding's taking place. They'll go out there, they'll do the work, and then they'll drive home. This is the work permit. That's all that's covered by this. I urge you to vote no. There's a reason that there's 3 of them in there, that the Senate's held fast, and I hope we do hold fast, for allowing them to have 3 passengers, particularly because we put the provision in there. It's got to be with parental consent. Parents have to know about it. It's parents and their kids. Let them go to work if they want to do it.
Thank you, Mr. President. This is not actually a work permit. It's a 14 to 16-year-old has a temporary license. That's to get them back and forth to school, and that's what it was originally intended for. Now, if you believe that they should have as many children as they want with them, I would vote no, but I truly believe that they shouldn't have a gang of children. We're not restricting it so they can go to work and have only one. It's all the time. So when they're coming back and forth to school, it just says they can have one. Whether they're going to work or not, I don't know that. I'm sure they can work that out, but I know you can also get a restricted license just because you have a single mom and you live in town, and you never leave the town limits. So this is a lot of people involved. This is not just the group going out to help share sheep or to take care of cows. This is for everybody, so keep that in mind.
Chairman, we already had this debate on the floor. It's a good one. We follow code of the West. Ride for the brand, guys. We already voted on it once. Put it down.
Do we not follow the second time procedure on a concurrence request?
The question is that the Senate do concur on Senate File 45, and you've been asked to vote aye, and the chief clerk will call the roll.
Anderson, District 2.
Aye.
Anderson, District 28.
Aye.
Barnard.
No.
Bebelt.
No.
Burns.
No.
Case.
Aye.
Christensen.
No.
Coe.
No.
Cooper.
No.
Kraft.
Aye.
Dockstader.
No.
Driscoll.
No.
Emmerich.
No.
Esquibel.
Aye.
Geis.
Aye.
Hastert.
Aye.
Hicks.
No.
Hines.
Aye.
Johnson. Landon.
Aye.
Meyer.
No.
Nicholas.
No.
Nutting.
Aye.
Perkins.
No.
Peterson.
No.
Rothfuss.
Aye.
Schiffer.
No.
Scott.
Aye.
Von Flatern.
Aye.
President Ross.
No.
Closing vote. Closing. Vote closed. 13 ayes, 17 noes.
By your vote, you have failed to concur on Senate File 45. Can I see the transportation? Okay, the Conference Committee on Senate File 28, Resident Preference Provisions, is Senator Hines, Chairman, Senator Anderson, 02, and Rothfuss. The Conference Committee on Senate File 45, Restricted Driver's License Modifications, Senator Von Flatern, Chairman, Senator Schiffer, and Senator Landon. Enrolled acts. Senate Enrolled Act 32, being original Senate File 43.
Senate Enrolled Act number 32, being original Senate File 43, an act relating to state parks and cultural resources.
I'm about to sign Senate Enrolled Act 32, being original Senate File 43. I have so signed. Any more? That's it? Oh, we have reports from Standing Committee.
February the 15th, 2013, Mr. President, Committee Number 4, Education, to whom was referred House Bill 230, Engross, School Safety and Security. Reports back with a recommendation that it do pass amended. Aye, Senators Anderson, 02, Senators Barnard, Cole, Landon, and Rothfuss, Senator Co-Chairman. February the 15th, 2013, Mr. President, Committee Number 1, Judiciary, to whom was referred House Bill 115, Engross, Wrongful Death, Tolling of Statutes of Limitation. Reports back with a recommendation that it do pass. Aye, Senators Burns, Christensen, Esquibel, Hicks, and Schiffer, Senator Schiffer, Chairman. February the 15th, 2013, Mr. President, your Committee Number 4, Education, to whom was referred House Bill 130, Engrossed, Education, Elective Academic Bible Study. Reports back with a recommendation that it do pass. Aye, Senators Anderson, 02, Barnard, and Landon, no, Senators Coe and Rothfuss, Senator Coe, Chairman. February the 14th, 2013. Mr. President, your committee number two, Appropriations, to whom was referred House Bill 91, engrossed, Statewide Election Accountability, Phase 1, reports back with a recommendation that it do pass amended. Aye, Senators Bebout, Dockstader, Hastert, Meyer, and Perkins, Senator Bebout, Chairman. February the 14th, 2013, Mr. President, your committee number two, Appropriations, to whom was referred House Bill 228, engrossed, Transfer of Federal Lands Study, reports back with a recommendation that it do pass amended. Aye, Senators Bebout, Dockstader, Meyer, and Perkins. No, Senator Hastert, Senator Bebout, Chairman.
Senator Coe.
Mr. President, House Bill 230, School Safety and Security, that was just read in, does have an appropriations. I'd request that it be re-referred to committee number two.
Without objection, House Bill 230 will be re-referred to committee number two, Appropriations. Members of the Senate, we're going to change the order today to accommodate some members of the Senate. So we're now going to go to bills on third reading and final passage. Then we'll take up second reading and then committee of the whole. Okay. Mr. Majority Floor Leader, we're at that order of business. Do you have a third reading and final passage? Do you have a consent list?
Mr. President, I do have a consent list, and but before that, I would request without objection that House Bill 215, State Investments for a Public Purpose, be laid over for one day till Tuesday.
Without objection, House Bill 215 will be laid back until Tuesday of next week.
Thank you, Mr. President. And with that being laid back, the consent list is the entire green sheet, except that we've removed House Bill 72, which was Statewide Education Accountability Phase 2. Having removed that, I move the following third reading consent list, which is House Bill 66, Municipal Solid Waste Facilities, House Bill 81, Large Project Funding, House Bill 86, Child Placement Orders, House Bill 95, Railroad Crossings On-Track Vehicles, House Bill 100, Vehicle Registration Fee Assistive Devices, House Bill 128, Illegal Possession of Wildlife Parts, House Bill 248, State Building Commission Staff, and House Bill 249, Budget Reduction Implementation.
Would any member of the Senate like any of the bills removed from the consent list? Senator Meyer?
I think I have an amendment on 81. Let me check back in the back, though. Could we remove that one just for the time being?
81 will be.
Yeah, take it off the list.
Yep. We'll be removed from that. Any other?
Huh. Okay, well, I'll have to go back and find.
So, having been read three separate times, the question is, shall these bills pass the Senate? House Bill 66, Municipal Solid Waste Facilities. House Bill 86, Child Placement Orders. House Bill 95, Railroad Crossings On-Track Vehicles. House Bill 100, Vehicle Registration Fees, Assistive Devices. House Bill 128, Illegal Possession of Wildlife Parts. House Bill 248, still State Building Commission Staffing, and House Bill 249, Budget Reduction Implementation. The Chief Clerk will call the roll.
Anderson, District 2.
Aye.
Anderson, District 28.
Aye.
Barnard.
Aye.
Bebout.
Aye.
Burns.
Aye.
Case.
Aye.
Christensen.
Aye.
Cole.
Aye.
Cooper.
Aye.
Kraft.
Aye.
Dockstader.
Aye.
Driscoll. Emmerich,
aye.
Esquivel,
aye.
Geis,
aye.
Hastert,
aye.
Hicks,
aye.
Hines,
aye.
Johnson,
aye.
Landon,
aye.
Meyer,
aye.
Nicholas?
Aye.
Nutting?
Aye.
Perkins?
Aye.
Peterson?
Aye.
Rothfuss?
Aye.
Schiffer?
Aye.
Scott?
Aye.
Von Flatern?
Aye.
President Ross?
Aye.
On the consent list, 30 ayes. House Bill 66, are there any changes? Nutting, aye to no. Case, aye to no. Johnson, aye to no. Closing vote. Closing. Vote closed. House Bill 66, 27 ayes, 3 noes. House Bill 86, are there any changes? Closing vote. Closing. Vote closed. House Bill 86, 30 ayes. House Bill 95, are there any changes? Closing vote. Closing. Vote closed. House Bill 95, 30 ayes. House Bill 100, are there any changes? Beep out, aye to no. Case, aye to no. Burns, aye to no. Closing vote. Meyer, aye to no. Perkins, aye to no. Christensen, aye to no. Closing vote. Closing. Vote closed. House Bill 100, 24 ayes, 6 noes. House Bill 128, are there any changes? Geis, aye to no. Bebout, aye to no. Driscoll, aye to no. Christensen, aye to no. Hines, aye to no. Meyer, aye to no. Case, aye to no. Closing vote. Closing. Vote closed. House Bill 128, 23 ayes, 7 noes. House Bill 248, are there any changes? Closing vote. Closing. Vote closed. House Bill 248, 30 ayes. House Bill 249, are there any changes? Closing vote. Closing. Vote closed. House Bill 249, 30 ayes.
Having received the affirmative vote of the majority of the members elected to the Senate, House Bills 66, House Bill 86, House Bill 95, House Bill 100, House Bill 128, House Bill 248, and House Bill 249 have passed the Senate. Senator Anderson.
Mr. President, may I have another moment of privilege before we go into the regular list?
Yes, sir.
Thank you, Mr. President. Mr. President and members of the body, we have another group of Cowboy Challenge Academy students from Camp Guernsey. I don't have the names of their supervisors, but if they'd all stand, we'd like you to welcome them, please.
Welcome to the Senate. Mr. Majority Floor Leader.
Thank you. I was told I need to clarify that with respect to laying back House Bill 215, State Investments for a Public Purpose, that's till Tuesday, not Monday.
I think I said Tuesday.
Yeah, I think you I did.
House Bill 72, third reading of the House Bill.
House Bill 72, Statewide Education Accountability Phase 2, sponsored by the Statewide Education Accountability Committee, and Act relating to the Teacher Accountability Act of 2011, be it enacted by the legislature of the state of Wyoming.
We have an amendment, third reading amendment number 1 to House Bill 72. The reading clerk will read it in.
House Bill 72, third reading amendment number 1 to engross copy, page 11, line 11.
Senator Coe.
Mr. President, I would move third reading amendment number 1 to House Bill 72. This is the accountability bill, phase 2. We had a great discussion on teacher of record. What we'd like to do with this amendment, and if you'll go in and look on page 11, paragraph 3, little I, we insert this language that says we'll still use the appropriate methodology, and we'll do that to link student performance to the performance of teachers and school and district leaders. So this just allows us, as a select committee, and remember that this particular section is the work defined for the select committee, to try to seek out a methodology in the interim that comes in and talks about teacher performance. That's what the amendment does. I think it's a good amendment. I think it allows us as a select committee to continue our work in trying to tie student achievement to teacher performance.
Discussion on the amendment? Questions been called. All those in favor of third reading amendment number 1 to House Bill 72, please say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? That amendment's been adopted. Any further discussion on the bill? House Bill 72 have been read 3 separate times. The question is, shall the bill pass? Chief Clerk will call the roll.
Anderson, District 2.
Aye.
Anderson, District 28.
Aye.
Barnard.
Aye.
Bebout.
Aye.
Burns.
Aye.
Case.
No.
Christensen.
Aye.
Coe.
Aye.
Cooper.
Aye.
Kraft.
Aye.
Dockstader.
Aye.
Driscoll.
No.
Emmerich. Esquibel, Geis,
aye.
Hastert,
aye.
Hicks,
aye.
Hines,
aye.
Johnson,
aye.
Landon,
aye.
Meyer,
aye.
Nicholas,
aye.
Nutting,
aye.
Perkins,
aye.
Peterson,
aye.
Rothfuss,
aye.
Schiffer,
aye.
Scott,
aye.
Von Flatern,
aye.
President Ross,
aye.
Closing vote. Closing vote closed. 27 ayes, 3 noes.
By your vote, House Bill 72 has received the affirmative vote of the majority of the members elected to the Senate. House Bill 72 has passed the Senate. Senator Meyer, did you have an amendment on House Bill 81?
No, I apologize, Mr. President. Different bill.
All right. House Bill 81. Having been read 3 separate times, the question is, shall the bill, or you got to read the bill, will be read.
House Bill 81, Large Project Funding, sponsored by the Select Natural Resource Funding Committee, and Act Relating to Wyoming Wildlife and Natural Resource Funding Act, be it enacted by the legislature of the state of Wyoming.
Any discussion? House Bill 81. Having been read 3 separate times, the question is, shall the bill pass? Chief Clerk will call the roll.
Anderson, District 2.
Aye.
Anderson, District 28.
Aye.
Barnard.
Aye.
Bebout.
Aye.
Burns.
Aye.
Case.
Aye.
Christensen.
Aye.
Coe.
Aye.
Cooper.
Aye.
Kraft.
Aye.
Dockstader.
Aye.
Driscoll.
Aye.
Emmerich,
aye.
Esquibel,
aye.
Geis,
aye.
Hastert,
aye.
Hicks,
aye.
Hines,
aye.
Johnson,
aye.
Landon,
aye.
Meyer,
aye.
Nicholas,
aye.
Nutting,
aye.
Perkins,
aye.
Peterson,
aye.
Rothfuss,
aye.
Schiffer,
aye.
Scott,
aye.
Von Flatern,
aye.
President Ross.
Aye.
Closing vote. Closing vote closed. 30 ayes.
House Bill 81, having received the affirmative vote of the majority of the members elected to the Senate, House Bill 81 has passed the Senate. Bills on second reading. Senator Emmerich.
Thank you, Mr. President. May I have privilege of the floor?
You may.
In the balcony up above us is the Cheyenne Civic League of the National Women's Club. I'd like you to welcome to their day at the Senate, and I hope it's more exciting than I think it is.
Hey.
Welcome to the Senate. House Bill 25, second reading of the House Bill.
House Bill 25, simulcasting of per-mutual events.
House Bill 25, having been read two separate times, the question is, shall the bill be read a third time? Hearing no objection, it is so ordered. House Bill 31, second reading of the House Bill.
House Bill 31, printing of state directory and constitution.
House Bill 31, having been read two separate times, the question is, shall the bill be read a third time? Hearing no objection, so ordered. House Bill 32, second reading of the House Bill.
House Bill 32, elections, vacancy, appointment process.
House Bill 32, having been read two separate times, the question is, shall the bill be read a third time? Hearing no objection, so ordered. House Bill 55, second reading of the House Bill.
House Bill 55, surface mining operations exemptions.
House Bill 55, having been read two separate times. Question is, shall the bill be read a third time? Hearing no objection, so ordered. House Bill 84, second reading of the House Bill.
House Bill 84, livestock fence repairs.
House Bill 84, having been read two separate times. The question is, shall the bill be read a third time? Hearing no objection, so ordered. House Bill 90, second reading of the House Bill.
House Bill 90, recreation liability activities.
House Bill 90, having been read two separate times. The question is, shall the bill be read a third time? Hearing no objection, so ordered. House Bill 92, second reading of the House Bill.
House Bill 92, interference with emergency calls.
House Bill 92, having been read two separate times, the question is, shall the bill be read a third time? Hearing no objection, it is so ordered. House Bill 98, second reading of the House Bill.
House Bill 98, county fees.
House Bill 98, having been read two separate times, the question is, shall the bill be read a third time? Hearing no objection, so ordered. House Bill 109, second reading of the House Bill.
House Bill 109, interstate shipment of state-inspected meats.
House Bill 109, having been read two separate times, the question is, shall the bill be read a third time? Hearing no objection, so ordered. House Bill 117, second reading of the House Bill.
House Bill 117, administrative rules takings assessment.
House Bill 117, having been read two separate times. Question is, shall the bill be read a third time? Hearing no objection, so ordered. House Bill 122, second reading of the House Bill.
House Bill 122, alcoholic beverages purchases acceptable identification.
House Bill 122, having been read two separate times, the question is, shall the bill be read a third time? Hearing no objection, so order. House Bill 131, second reading of the House Bill.
House Bill 131, game fish definitions.
House Bill 131, having been read two separate times, the question is, shall the bill be read a third time? Hearing no objection, so ordered. House Bill 146, second reading of the House Bill.
House Bill 146, athletic trainers' licensures.
House Bill 146, having read two separate times. Question is, shall the bill be read a third time? Whew. House Bill 150. House Bill 150, second reading of the House Bill.
House Bill 150, bonds for certificates of title.
House Bill 150, having been read two separate times. Question is, shall the bill be read a third time? Hearing no objection, so ordered. House Bill 161, second reading of the House Bill.
House Bill 161, outdoor advertising fees.
House Bill 161, having been read two separate times. Question is, shall the bill be read a third time? Hearing no objection, it is so ordered. House Bill 171, second reading of the House Bill.
House Bill 171, fuel tax gasoline definition.
House Bill 171, having been read two separate times. Question is, shall the bill be read a third time? Hearing no objection, so ordered. House Bill 175, second reading of the House Bill.
House Bill 175, juvenile citations notification by law enforcement.
We have an amendment. Reading clerk will read in second reading amendment number 1 to House Bill 175.
House Bill 175, second reading amendment number 1 to engross coffee, page 2, line 3.
Senator Case.
Thank you, Mr. President. I would move second reading amendment number 1 to House Bill 175. Mr. President, what the amendment does is sort of split the difference between the way the bill was originally drafted and the way that the Senate has received it. If you recall the discussion yesterday, the bill as originally drafted said that law enforcement agency issuing the citation shall take all reasonable and necessary actions to notify the child's parent, guardian, or custodian. Mr. Chairman, that was amended down the hall, and they changed it to say that the law enforcement agency issuing the citation or its designee, so they allowed for the law it not to be the officer, it could be the dispatcher or what have you. And then instead of saying take all actions reasonable and necessary, they said shall attempt to notify the child's parent, guardian, or custodian. What my amendment does is leave the fact that they can have a designee, so someone else can work on the notification. But it says you have to make more than just an attempt. It's more than just a phone call, you know, and it comes down to the fact that if this is your kid, and these are all our kids, we want the parents to know when the kids get in trouble. It may be the only way that they know that the kids get in trouble. And for the future of these kids, for our justice system, on and on and on, it's worth more than just trying to make a phone call. So the amendment would say, take all reasonable actions necessary. And that's all it does, Mr. President. It leaves in the fact that they can do it with a designee, so they could have somebody assigned to make these calls to parents, or the dispatcher could do it, or however it works. I think it's a great amendment. Thank you, Mr. President.
Any discussion on the amendment? Ready for a question on the amendment? All those in favor of second reading amendment number 1 to House Bill 175, please say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? That amendment's been adopted. House Bill 175, having read 2 separate times, the question is, shall the bill be read a 3rd time? Hearing no objection, it is so ordered. Mr. Minority Floor Leader.
Mr. President, may I have privilege of the floor for a moment?
You may.
Mr. President, I would like to welcome some special guests. We have up in the back balcony here, Mark, Christine, and Sarah. This is the family of our page Abigail, and I think the Senate should thank them for loaning us Abigail for a couple of weeks. She's done a wonderful job for us. Yeah.
Well, thank you. We've enjoyed having Abigail, and it's been my pleasure to have had the opportunity to ask her to serve. Senator Driscoll.
Privilege the floor.
Yes.
Senators, I would like to introduce you to the Wyoming State 4-H leadership team. Alicia Kieran from Torrington, Brittany Randall from Torrington, Ty Espy from Rollins, Willie Wood from Laramie, Brickley Schrambler from Pinedale, Allie Wadsworth from Pinedale, and their advisors, Warren Crawford, Robin Schamber, and Lindsay Maniz, standing up here in the future leaders of Wyoming. Thanks them all for all they do, and welcome. Yeah.
Welcome to the Senate. Mr. Majority Floor Leader, we're at that order of business, consideration of bills on general file.
And it resolve itself into committee of the whole.
You've heard the motion. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion's carried. Senator Rothfuss.
Thank you.
Committee of the Whole will please come to order. The first bill for our consideration is House Bill number 24. The reading clerk will please read the bill.
House Bill 24, Probate Amendment, sponsored by Representative Lubnow, and act relating to probate. It was referred to Committee Number 1, Judiciary. Reports back with a favorable recommendation that it do pass. Aye, Senators Burns, Christensen, Escobel, Hicks, and Schiffer. Senator Schiffer, Chairman.
You've heard the reading of the bill. What is your pleasure, Senator Schiffer?
Committee of the Whole rise to report it do so with a favorable recommendation on House Bill 24, probate amendments, and to visit with us about this good little bill, I'll yield to Mr. President.
Thank you, Senator Schiffer. Senator Ross, Mr. President.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. House Bill 24 is a cleanup bill. A couple years ago, I carried a bill on the floor here that increased the summary probate figures from 150 to 250,000. Unfortunately, I think probably in my haste, there was a number of statutes that needed to be brought up to date also, and that's what this bill does. It just goes in on collection of claims of certain creditors, takes that from 150 to 200. Probate estates of non-residents, 150 to 200, and non-resident property from 150 to 200. I'd urge your favorable consideration.
Thank you, Mr. President. Any discussion on House Bill? Any discussion on the bill? Question on the bill? All those in favor of Senator Schiffer's motion that when the Committee of the Whole rises to report that it do so with a favorable recommendation of House Bill 24, please say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, no. House Bill number 24 has passed the Committee of the Whole. The next bill for our consideration is House Bill number 47. Will the reader please read the House Bill?
House Bill number 47, Confidential Student Disciplinary Hearing, sponsored by Representative Gear, an act relating to children. It was referred to Committee Number 4, Education. Reports back with a favorable recommendation that it do pass. Aye, Senators Anderson, 02, Senators Barnard, Cole, Landon, and Rothfuss. Senator Cole, Chairman.
You've heard the reading of the bill. What is your pleasure? Absent Senator Cole, can we get a motion from Senator Landon?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I move that when the Committee of the Whole rises to report it, do so with a favorable recommendation on House Bill 47. And I will be glad to introduce you to this fine House Bill, Mr. Chairman.
Thank you, Mr. Senator Landon.
Thank you. I'm, Mr. Chairman, I am going to send it to Senator, yield it to Senator Anderson. Thank you.
Thank you, Senator Landon. Senator Anderson.
Thank you very much, Mr. Chairman. Mr. Chairman, assuming that most all of you have the bill in hand, I'll hit the highlights of the bill and go through it quickly and then, of course, try to answer any questions at the end. This has to do, House Bill 47 has to do with confidential student disciplinary hearings. It's an act that relates to children, providing that relevant proceedings of a court action involving misconduct of a minor may be disclosed to the minor's school district for purposes of suspension or expulsion, and of the minor for school as specified, and then we'll talk about how those conditions are set forth. It has to do with jurisdiction and confidentiality of records within 14.6-203, a little bit in regard to background and existing language, except as provided in this subsection of the all information reports or records made or received kept by any municipal, city, or state officer or employee evidence any legal or administrative process or disposition resulting from a minor's misconduct are confidential and are subject to the provisions of this act. And then it goes on and we make some additions or changes to that. Further on, line 7, page 2 says, disclosure is made to a victim of a delinquent act constituting a felony in accordance with, and there's statutory reference to, 14.6501 through 14.6509. And then it goes on to say in lines 11 going on down, the disclosure is authorized by the statute of 719.504. And then that brings us to the context or content of the bill, the new language starting on page 2, line 14, it says that the disclosure is made to an administrative employee or a member of the school board of trustees of the minor school district authorized by the court to receive the information for purposes of the suspension or expulsion. So it puts parameters on who can receive this information. And of course, those are the administrator or member of the board of trustees. Paragraph A further down, starting on line 21, says the court finds that the authorized by the court, finds that the court action involves matters that are relevant to the suspension or expulsion of a minor, goes on the authority that it gives it, and only materials and evidence relevant to the minor's potential suspension or expulsion shall be disclosed to the administrative employee again or to the member of the Board of Trustees or the minor of the minor school district. Going on, line 5, the school district administrative employee or the Board of Trustees, members authorized to receive the minor's confidentiality information shall only disclose the information, and then there's talks about who can that information be disclosed to, and it can only be disclosed to, line 10, to other members of the Board of Trustees or the superintendent, and then for the purposes that are specified in statute. And finally, the new language, line 14, page 3, to the minor and his parents, legal guardians, attorneys, or guardian ad litem. The rest of the bill is existing language, Mr. Chairman. With that, I would defer to any other members of the committee for their comments or perhaps entertain questions.
Thank you, Senator Anderson. Senator Meyer.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Question I have as far as are there different standards in different districts for suspension and expulsion? And whose duty is it? Is it the court's duty to know what those different standards are? Or is there a statute that spells out what the standards for suspension or expulsion is? Or is the duty of the school district to inform the court what those standards are? And especially into the legal records that are over on the existing language on page 4, it says, except as otherwise allowed under 14.6203, and then we added V in this section here. It says, legal records released by the court in this subsection shall not include predisposition studies and reports, social summaries, medical or psychological reports, educational records or transcripts, or dispositional hearings. And kind of the question I have is the psychological reports. I'm wondering if you had a psychological report that basically said that this student was very capable or espoused the thought immediate action that he was going to come back to the school and basically take care of anybody that he had any trouble with, whether it was a student or a teacher or a principal or a coach, whether or not that would be disclosed to the board, or whether something like that would be considered a reason for suspension or expulsion. Just trying to figure out how it works in the real world, and if you give me an idea of how it works and whether we have any protections, I guess, to the students, the school, or any of the employees as far as the psychological reports that might exist that are excluded, or are they not excluded in those cases.
Thank you, Senator Meyer. Any additional questions before a proponent responds? All right. Senator Anderson.
Thank you, Senator. You know, I'm not a legal expert, but I will say that a lot of these suspension expulsion activities are spelled out in statute, and there's pretty firm standards, which makes it pretty standard across our state in regard to what school districts can do. I would say, and not being a psychologist nor an attorney in regard to any issues that might arise in regard to the psychological nature, unless an act had been committed, I don't think that you could, given whatever the psychological condition, could make any kind of suspension or expulsion on what might possibly happen.
and are on any active suspicion. So if, in fact, we had an incident that was chargeable, found in the courts, that would have an effect or perhaps even happened within the school district that have a distinct effect upon management or control of that individual, yes, I think they probably could talk about. But if just to identify someone through a psychological profile and said that there is a potential for something, I don't think that could be used. I don't think it should be used. That would be actually prosecution, suspension, expulsion, be in fact performed on an exact incident. And so I think that that would be my best guess. I'm not an expert. We'll certainly do some more research, get back to you on that. But that would be my best estimate at this time.
Thank you, Senator Anderson. Additional questions or discussion on House Bill 47? Do I hear a call for the question? Question having been called, all those in favor of Senator Landon's motion that when the Committee of the Whole rises to report that it do so with a favorable recommendation on House Bill number 47, please say aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, no. House Bill number 47 has passed Committee of the Whole. Oops. Let's see. The next bill for your consideration is House Bill number 51. Will the reading clerk please read the bill?
House Bill 51, Probate Objections to Appointment, sponsored by Representative Lubnow, an act relating to probate. It was referred to Committee number 1, Judiciary. Reports back with a favorable recommendation that it do pass. Aye, Senators Christensen, Escobel, Hicks, and Schiffer. No, Senator Burns. Senator Schiffer, Chairman.
You've heard the reading of the bill. What's your pleasure? Senator Schiffer.
Mr. Chairman, I move in the Committee of the Whole rise to report it do so with a favorable recommendation on House Bill 51, Probate Objections to Appointment, and to work this continuing saga of the probate system. I yield to the President of the Senate.
Thank you, Senator Schiffer. Mr. President.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. House Bill 51 was brought primarily by the Speaker and asked me to sign on it. it's a good little bill, but it was brought because with a reference to a judge up in his district that thought that this would be a good idea. What happens when you file your will for probate? You have to get letters testamentary and an appointment of a personal representative, and the court has the authority to have a hearing if it wants on the admission of the will to probate or on even appointment of a personal representative. So if the court does that, normally what they do is they'll kind of set these things for a ghost setting, so to speak. Most people don't object to the will coming in. You have to file the probate within 30 days of the day of death. You ask for a personal representative. But if somebody wanted to object to the appointment of the personal representative, what happens in some situations, they may just show up and object at that point in time, throws the schedule off for the judge. They have to reset it for another date. What this basically says is that no less than 5 days prior to a scheduled hearing on the appointment, they must object. But it also has an escape clause, the last sentence in this bill. A court may waive this requirement upon a showing of good cause if for some reason they didn't have notice or they didn't know that they were in Kansas at the time or whatever, and this matter had been admitted to probate and they hadn't really gotten a notice yet. So that's the bill. Voted up, voted down, but that's kind of the thinking. It was a request of the judge that it would make their life easier if we knew if somebody was going to show up at those hearings to object to the appointment of the personal representative.
Thank you, Mr. President. Any discussion on House Bill number 51? Question having been called for, All those in favor of Senator Schiffer's motion that when the Committee of the Whole rises to report that to do so with a favorable recommendation on House Bill number 51, please say aye. Those opposed, no. House Bill number 51 has passed the Committee of the Whole. The next bill for our consideration is House Bill number 94. Will the reading clerk please read the House Bill?
House Bill 94, Immunization by Pharmacists, sponsored by Representative Reeder, and Act Relating to Wyoming Pharmacy Act. It was referred to Committee Number 10, Labor, Health, and Social Services, reports back with a favorable recommendation that it do pass amended. Aye, Senators Anderson, 28, Senators Kraft, Nutting, Peterson, and Scott, Senator Scott, Chairman.
You've heard the reading of the bill. What is your pleasure, Senator Scott?
Mr. Chairman, I move when the Committee of the Whole rise and report it do so with a recommendation that House Bill 94 do pass. It was a standing committee amendment. I ask it be read in at this time.
House Bill 94, Standing Committee Amendment Number 1 to engrossed copy, page 1, line 11.
Mr. Chairman, I move adoption of the Standing Committee Amendment. Mr. Chairman, the Standing Committee Amendment does several things. The first and last items there are just some cleanup. There was some language in there that related to a companion bill that did not survive over in the other house, and we took that out relating to medications. So this bill strictly deals with the immunizations. And then on page 2, line 1, they were dedicating a space to the administration of immunizations. Well, you need a private space for that for the children that are involved here, but you can use it for other purposes at the time when they're not actually using it for immunizations. And pharmacists are supposed to consult with people from time to time on some of the medications they're taking, how to do it, and that sort of thing, and that you could perfectly well use the same space, and we changed the language to accommodate that. That's the page 2, line 1 reference. And then, Mr. Chairman, the item that might be controversial in the Standing Committee Amendment, page 1, line 16, the committee changed the age where this will allow immunizations to age 7. The committee changed it to age 13. Mr. Chairman, that's the Standing Committee Amendment. I'd be happy to answer any questions on it.
Discussion on Standing Committee Amendment Number 1. Senator Landon.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I guess maybe just a little bit more conversation about reasoning for changing that up to 13 years old. I don't have a lot of background on this, but I did receive a couple of pieces of information that indicated that part of the reason and the genesis for this bill was the lack of vaccinations out there, lack of ability for these families with young children to be able to access some of these immunizations. And obviously the pharmacy is an easy and accessible way for them to do that. So maybe a little bit more conversation about why none of the smaller ones. Thank you.
Thank you, Senator. Any additional questions or discussion before the Senator from Natrona rises again? Senator Nutting.
Before we go to vote on the amendment, Mr. Chairman, I'd like to describe the bill a little bit more thoroughly. This does deal with immunization administration. Immunizations are the number one most important, most effective, and most cost-effective measure that we can do to protect the health of Wyoming citizens. House Bill 94 is a means of access to care. It's an access bill. It does enhance access to immunizations, and it also better utilizes our medical resources. We all are familiar with what pharmacists are, but pharmacists, like many, many medical professions, have evolved, and we now have a specially prepared type of pharmacist called a PharmD, who has extra clinical education and skills beyond what a pharmacist does. House Bill 94 is completely voluntary. Nothing in it is mandated. Wyoming's immunization rate now is 64%. It's lower than the national average. The national average immunization rate is 74%. For that 64% of Wyoming that has a good immunization rate, I don't think this bill will make much difference. I think those people who are accustomed to going to their physicians or to their clinics for immunizations, I think they will continue to do that. What House Bill 94 seeks to improve is that 36% rate of under-immunized or not immunized people. Those are people who, for some reason or other, maybe they're too busy, it's hard to get a medical appointment, and so they just don't get the immunizations. What House Bill 94 does is to make those immunizations more accessible and hopefully will reach some of that 36% under-immunized population. So it isn't trying to take any function away from any other medical care provider. It's improving access and hopefully we'll get our 36% group better immunized. We have had some recent epidemics of under-immunized people, and those have been in influenza and in whooping cough. The incidence of whooping cough or pertussis has greatly increased, evidencing that we do have an under-immunized population. We can have outbreaks among the other preventable diseases also. Severe illnesses and hospitalizations have resulted from under-immunized people. 48,000 people, including 300 children, every year die from diseases that are easily preventable by giving vaccines. I've had distributed a handout to each of your desks. The front of it has a graph of what standard immunizations are. Whether you go to a clinic or to a pharmacist, the recommended immunization schedules are what are used. These immunizations are easy to give. I have given thousands of them. Severe reactions are very, very rare. Usually those reactions are somebody faints, or their arm gets more sore than what they expect. Usual reactions are in that nature. Severe reactions are very, very rare. If they do occur, the measures to treat them are more accessible in pharmacies than they are in many clinics. So that, in a pharmacy is not a bad place to be if a reaction does occur. And PharmD pharmacists are able to treat those. A lot of pharmacists don't want to participate in this program, and nothing mandates them to do that. There's nothing in this bill that is mandatory. It is an effort to reach that 36% of the currently under-immunized or not immunized people. On the second page of the handout lists some of the severe problems that occur when immunization isn't completely done. Tetanus, for example. 3 out of 10 people who get tetanus die from the disease, and yet it's very easily prevented. You can go to mumps. Mumps is usually an innocent disease, just a childhood disease, and usually recovery is complete, but not always. Mumps can cause severe brain damage and mental retardation. It's easily prevented with the vaccine. So then to get on to the the standing committee amendment that has already been moved in. Mr. Chairman, I would ask that be divided. Lines 1 through 4 and 7 through 12 would be division 1. And lines 5 and 6 would be division 2.
One moment. Chair rules that is divisible. We are on division number 1 of the Standing Committee Amendment number 1.
Mr. Chairman, I ask for the body to vote in favor of this division.
Thank you, Senator Nutting. Any further discussion on division number 1 of Standing Committee Amendment number 1? Senator Barnard.
Chairman, I'd just like to know why we're moving it back from 7 to 13. Why not do this?
That's division number 2. We're on division number 1 at this time, Senator Barnard. Any further discussion on division number 1? Hearing none. Let's see. All those in favor of the motion, let's see. I believe that would be, if it's a division, it's Senator Nutting's motion that the Committee of the Whole adopt division number 1 of Standing Committee Amendment number 1 to Senate File 51, or excuse me, nope, Senate File number 90, House Bill number 94. Please say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, no. That amendment has been adopted. That division of the amendment has been adopted. We are now on division number 2. Senator Nutting.
Mr. Chairman, I would ask the body to vote against division number 2. This lowers the age from age 13 to age 7. 7-year-olds are still very easy to immunize. That age group from 7 to 13 represents some of the most dangerous time for many of these diseases. It's an age group that we especially want to be immunized. It's an age group that we want immunizations to be even more accessible to. So, Mr. Chairman, I would ask that the body vote no on Division 2.
Thank you, Senator Nutting. Senator Anderson, number 28.
Mr. Chairman, we heard a lot of testimony in committee about this both ways. And we got a lot of feedback from all the professionals about this issue, and the compromise was to raise the age to 13. There was a lot that did not think pharmacists should be giving shots. There were some pharmacists that testified that said they should be, and so there's a lot of dissension on this bill. But we compromised with raising the age to 13 that would take care of some of the dissension. Thank you.
Thank you, Senator Anderson. Senator Peterson.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. On and for this amendment, as the good senator has mentioned, it was a good compromise. And 7 is pretty young. And I'd like you to think about the idea and concept of crawling before we're running on this particular proposal of pharmacists administering shots and vaccinations. If you can imagine a mother, a first-time mother, taking a 7-year-old into a Safeway store or a Walgreens, and we've tried to set aside some space, some privacy, and a child is screaming and yelling and not happy to be there in the first place, and the disruption that might cause, and then a pharmacist somewhat in a hurry to administer the vaccination and move on to other business. So this was the compromise. In discussing this bill with my spouse, who's an LPN, she said, boy, that's pretty young. 7 is pretty young. And she administers shots to this age group all the time. And it's quite a traumatic experience for these kids to walk into a situation like that where vaccination is going to be given. And there's a lot of talking down. There's a lot of calming down. Those type of efforts are made by a trained staff that on a regular basis give these immunizations. And so I would suggest voting in favor of this amendment, and it was a good compromise, and I'd urge your support on it.
Thank you, Senator Peterson. Senator Hines first.
Mr. Chairman, I also would speak in favor of the amendment. I've been receiving emails from pharmacists, and they say they do not have access to medical records in the pharmacy and would be uncomfortable determining what healthy 7 years old, and they just feel like this is too young and would be uncomfortable making this decision.
Thank you, Senator Hines. Senator Scott.
Well, Mr. Chairman, as you can see, we had a divided opinion in the committee. It was a 3-2 vote on this particular item. There's a trade-off here. How much change you're willing to undertake versus you're probably going to improve, as I listened to the testimony up there, you're probably going to improve the immunization rate by about 10 percentage points. The advantage to doing immunizations in the pharmacies is that, frankly, they're open at hours that are a lot more convenient for young parents. It's a lot easier to find a time to go get it done as opposed to waiting to the business hours when a doctor or public health service office is open. And these are pretty dangerous diseases. You want a high immunization rate in your population. I can recall an outbreak of diphtheria in Casper a number of years ago. There were 6 cases, and they were in the kids in this age range, in the 7 to 13 age range, and 3 of them died. And that's probably pretty typical of that kind of a disease and that kind of an outbreak. So the immunization rate is very important, because you start to get up, Mr. Chairman, into the 70% plus rate of immunizations, you're starting to get the point where you get a herd immunity and you don't get the disease circulating in the community. And if it does, if you do get a case, it's not likely to spread very much. So there's you really are losing something when you don't go to the 7, and what you're losing is about 10 percentage points of immunization. I heard a lot of testimony about prejudices as to which professional ought to do the immunizations, but I didn't hear any real risks of going to 7, and a number of states have done it. A number of states have gone all the way to birth and say the pharmacist can immunize any range. So I would say that the age of 7 that's in the bill represents the compromise that may be needed. But this will increase your immunization level if we go all the way to the age of 7.
For the discussion, Senator Meyer.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Well, Mr. Chairman, as I read the bill, any pharmacist that's uncomfortable with giving a vaccination to someone under the age of 13 doesn't have to. You know, it's all permissive. The parents have to consent. So if they have a child that's that needs that comfort of a doctor's office, I think that they're certainly able to do that. This is just authorizing pharmacists to do it. It doesn't say they have to. So, you know, the problem with some pharmacists that don't want to do it, frankly, they don't have to do it. As I read the bill, now if I'm wrong on this, and maybe somebody that can correct me, but I think this is all optional.
Further discussion on division number 2. Senator Anderson, 28.
Mr. Chairman, the testimony we heard was we're putting that optional in there, but if the pharmacy that you're working for decides they're doing that, and that's maybe a major chain, then if you're a pharmacist working for them, you're going to do it. And there's pharmacists say they do or do not want. They don't necessarily have the option. The pharmacy has the option. The other thing that we heard was that 7-year-olds, a lot of times the physicians would like to see them in the office for other reasons. And what we're getting away from is more and more of them just going to the chain and getting their shots and never seeing a physician, which we don't think is a good idea. The other thing, No, that's it, Mr. Chairman. Thank you.
Thank you, Senator. Senator Emmerich.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. On and against the amendment, I think it's a matter of age. And, of course, it's the earlier you get vaccinated, the better your immunization and your titers against that disease. Your point is the good senator from Goshen County said it's voluntary. But I think if you're going to do it, and you're going to do it right, bring it down to 7. Thank you.
Senator Anderson, 28.
Mr. Chairman, the other item, I heard somebody ask how come we're changing from 7 to 13. We're actually changing it from 19. It was 19 before. We brought it down to 7. We're bringing it back up to 13. It was 19 years old before.
Thank you. Question on the division being called. All those in favor of Senator Scott's motion to adopt division number 2 of Standing Committee Amendment number 1 to House Bill number 94, please say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, no.
No.
Let's see. Division number 2 of Standing Committee Amendment number 1 to House Bill number 94 has failed. We are back on the bill. Senator Perkins.
I have one quick question. The objection I seem to have gotten checking the emails this morning was that it seemed to me basically they're concerned about continuity of care and the doctor not being advised about the vaccines. But I see in the bill that they've got to record the immunization in the Wyoming Immunization Registry. Somebody can just help me understand exactly what that is and if that actually resolves the issues with respect to continuity of care, I'd appreciate it.
Senator Landon.
Well, thank you, Mr. Chairman. And along with that, my good friend from Casper puts us on the trail to something that I think is important, because one of the reasons that we like for young ones to see their doctors is that they're, and maybe the committee can clear this up for me, but it seems to me that there might be a young child who has a predisposition to go into a shock or whatever. And that is part of the concern with a bill like this, is that you don't have your family physician nearby. You're going to be at a chain store somewhere. So it seems like there would be some predisposition in there in some physical cases. And so maybe a little bit more discussion about that.
Senator Scott.
Mr. Chairman, with regard to the registry, that is something the health department maintains, basic public health tool to make sure your immunization levels within the community stay up and give us an advance warning if they're not, so we find out about it by getting that kind of documentation rather than by having an outbreak of the disease. That's the purpose of it. Yeah, Mr. Chairman, I believe they do. That's my understanding. It's supposed to be a help to the doctors as well, that they have access to it. Mr. Chairman, with regard to the risk of a severe reaction, my understanding is if you're going to have a severe reaction, it is likely to occur in the first immunizations when the child is an infant, in that first year or the second year. And they are, Mr. Chairman, extraordinarily rare. Now, you can have some mild reactions, little fever, sore spot in the arm, that sort of thing. I think, as I remember what my dad told me, and, Mr. Chairman, he was a pediatrician, practiced for nearly 30 years in this state. I think he had one case of a severe reaction to a vaccination in all those years, and I think that's pretty typical. So I think the risks you're running here are virtually nil, and as the good senator from Laramie County reported, if you're going to have a reaction, the place to do it is a pharmacy where they've got plenty of the remedy right there. So that there's a real advantage. So what you're really getting with this bill is an increase in the immunization levels and a good deal more convenience for a number of the families.
Thank you, Senator Scott. Senator Nutting.
Mr. Chairman, I certainly would echo many of these words. I would like to address the continuity of care. You know, different physicians practice differently. Different medical providers practice differently. Many of them do not want to see a child on the same day that they get an immunization because they don't want for themselves to be associated in that little patient's mind with pain. So often in a clinic area, they will have somebody other than the provider to actually give the injection. In fact, that's the most common thing. Continuity of care is maintained among a variety of providers all the time. And so the records are well kept. There is not a loss of continuity of care. Many of the provider offices don't want to keep a lot of vaccine on hand. They don't have the refrigeration that's necessary, and many of them will prefer to have the immunizations given by another highly trained professional. So I urge the body to vote aye on the bill.
Thank you, Senator Nutting. Question has been called for. All those in favor of Senator Scott's motion that when the Committee of the Whole rise to report that I do so with a favorable recommendation on House Bill 94, please say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, no.
No.
Chair is in doubt. All of those in favor, please stand. Those are some loud noes. All those opposed, please stand.
Seven.
Nice work on those opposed, sounding loud. House Bill number 94 has passed Committee of the Whole. The next bill for our consideration? Yes, Senator Hastert. Oh, I'm sorry. Mr. Majority Floor Leader.
Mr. Chairman, I move the Committee of the Whole beg leave to rise and sit again.
You have heard the motion. Or, Mr. President, excuse me. Okay, you've heard the motion. All those in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? All right. Motion has passed. Mr. President.
Do we have anything? Reports from standing committees.
February the 15th, 2013, Mr. President, your committee number 10, Labor, Health, and Social Services, to whom was referred House Bill 234, Home Energy Assistance Program, reports back with a recommendation that it do pass. Aye, Senators Kraft, Nutting, Peterson, and Scott. No, Senators Anderson, number 28, Senator Scott, Chairman. February the 15th, 2013, Mr. President, your committee number 10, Labor, Health, and Social Services, to whom was referred House Bill 224, engrossed, State Minors Hospital Eligibility, reports back with a recommendation that it do pass. Aye, Senators Anderson, 28, Senators Kraft, Nutting, Peterson, and Scott, Senator Scott, Chairman. February the 15, 2013, Mr. Prenier, Committee Number 10, Labor, Health, and Social Services, to whom was referred House Bill 145, engrossed, insurance, coverage of inherited enzymatic disorders, reports back with a recommendation that it do pass. Aye, Senator Anderson, 28, Senators Kraft, Nutting, and Peterson, excuse Senator Scott, Senator Scott, Chairman. February the 15th, 2013, Mr. President, your committee number one, Judiciary, to whom was referred House Bill 201, engrossed, transfer on death deed, reports back with a recommendation that it do pass amended. Aye, Senators Burns, Christensen, Escobel, Hicks, and Schiffer. Senator Schiffer, Chairman.
Mr. Majority Floor Leader, that clears the desk.
Thank you, Mr. President. I move that the Senate stand in recess until 12:45.
Announcements? Hearing none. Senator Case.
Thank you, Mr. President. Mr. President, your corporation's number 7 will meet Tuesday. I've got to make the announcement today for Tuesday at 7:30 a.m. to hear House Bill 129, Engrossed Voting Rights, House Bill 219, Engrossed Campaign Finance Reporting, House Bill 237, Engrossed Unemployment Insurance, Worker Misconduct, and House Bill 259, State Elected Officials, Board Votes, and Chairmanship. That should do it. We should be done after that, Mr. President.
Senator Burns.
Mr. President, the meeting notice will come out later, but your committee number 6, Travel, Recreation, Wildlife, and Cultural Resources, will not be meeting Tuesday morning at all. We will meet Tuesday at lunchtime with our corresponding committee from the other house to discuss interim topics down at their meeting room, H10.
Further announcements? All those in favor of the motion, please say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Senate stand in recess until 12:45.